This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. And one of the topics that we've not yet covered in my fourth hour, although we have covered extensively MKUltra and the MKUltra projects, we haven't gone into any of the theories to where it might have been deployed, especially domestically in the U.S. So today we're going to look at a theory which I think is plausible, at least in some of the cases of the famous serial killers. Now, true crime has, for whatever reason, exploded all over the internet. The hottest podcasts on YouTube, millions of views, are true crime things. And typically, I know that Alex InfoWars doesn't focus on true crime, but it does relate to elite criminality because true crime can be a window into the pathology, the modus operandi of psychopaths and mad scientists who kind of operate like Jeffrey Dahmer or, you know, some of these people. They kind of have their own, more high IQ, wealthier way to approach the issues of human experimentation, human sacrifice, perhaps even. So we're going to look at some of the famous cases of the serial killers and look at some of the odd anomalies that pop up and some of the patterns that are not usually talked about in the mainstream. Now, everybody knows that the sort of mainstream profile of a serial killer is he's a nerdy white dude who's, you know, 35 years old and he lives at home and he's an incel and he doesn't have any friends and he is mad at his mom and he's got to fight back against the system by going after prostitutes. And so he has a type and he always follows the pattern of a certain type of this and that. But is that really the case? Is that the reality of what serial killers are? Is there an aspect of media manipulation to create the idea of there being serial killers everywhere, especially back in the time period of the 70s and the 80s, right? Right when we're getting into that, right around the same time of when the satanic panic emerges. And some of the serial killers actually did sort of figure into the satanic panic, particularly with Geraldo's famous series on it that helped spark that fear. In Geraldo's case, Bobby Verdella. Now, let's consider, is there such a thing? Is there a reality to the possibility of programs, assassin programs, government programs that could be similar to serial killers? Is there anything like any evidence that we have of that? Well, actually, there are quite a few pieces of evidence that prove this. The first of which is a Canadian journalist all the way back in 2002 named Doug Saunders, and writing for the Globe and Mail, writing for mainstream Canadian publications. He figured out, hey, wait a minute, there's actually a pattern to a lot of serial killers where they seem to have had some degree of serious military training, perhaps even assassin training. And that's something that not many people have talked about. Now, I'm not trying to knock everybody in the military, so don't misunderstand me here. But this is something that, again, people have begun to notice. So there's the Doug Saunders 2002 piece where he noticed that. And right around that same time, actually before that, the first person to really key into this was the famous writer Maury Terry, who was an investigator into the Son of Sam case. He was known as kind of the expert on the Son of Sam. And he had always posited for especially after, the case of Berkowitz had basically been settled, that there were other accomplices and then it connected to a larger occult and satanic network. And if you don't know, of course, some months back, Netflix did a whole series, Sons of Sam. And the idea was, what are we really going to see here? When I was watching this, I expected, here's another whitewash. We're going to whitewash this whole thing. And we have to say, it's not really a conspiracy. But ironically, even though there was a couple episodes in there out of the five or so that they put out, that kind of attempted to make Maury Terry look bad. In the end, overall, it kind of vindicated Maury Terry's research. And if you don't know, he put out the famous book, Ultimate Evil, alleging, again, higher level cults, cults that connected Manson and Berkowitz and people in the UK, the Process Church, the Process Magazine, where key connects were those two figures. And even in the Process Church, we have a connection to the figure of Jimmy Savile. Savile wrote and did interviews and articles for the Process Magazine in the UK. Now, I think these are very telling because we know that Savile had connects to a couple serial killers as well that happened to just be his friends, right? Peter Sutcliffe and the Moore killers. So odd companions there for people that are operating at such a high level. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get back into the serial killer.
PrepareToday.com. PrepareToday.com. We have created a one-stop shop to get the highest quality storable foods ready to ship that are in stock with hundreds of award-winning certified preparedness survival items. That's why PrepareToday.com is a one-stop shop. You can also follow PrepareWithAlex.com. It takes you right to the same site, and it's our huge sponsor funding our operation. So Americans and others can get ready, be self-sufficient, and fund the info war while saving massive amounts of money on critical items they need, and of course getting things delivered to them quickly because it's in stock. PrepareToday.com. The only way you fail is not visiting PrepareToday.com. There's not a question now whether you need this or not. You need it. Before, it was just a backup plan and insurance. This is an insurance. This is survival. PrepareToday.com. PrepareToday.com, and I'll see you there.
Crime and serial killers, and what does this have to do with elite psychopathy, the Great Reset? Well, we're going to see that the attitude of a lot of these people, the higher level connections that they have, might suggest that much more is going on than the profile of the lone nut serial killer, the obsessive incel. Back in 1975, a report came out in European news, and this was unfortunately something that appeared to leak. And it was about the Navy and Dr. Thomas Nerud, who was in charge of a program in the Navy to profile and train serial killers and to use them as assassins. And you can find this. It came out. It was Navy denies that it trains assassins. But then, of course, it admits in the article that, oh, actually, they do. So don't be fooled by the headline there, because there was more to that. And some really other interesting cases that are lesser known that are similar to this would be the case of the Italian servants of the satanic sect that the Guardian reported on. The police raided them back in the 90s. You can find in the Irish Times articles like this where they were raided. This is a very famous case because it came out in the Guardian, and it turns out that this sect had tie-ins to the Dutroux affair, which is one of the most famous Belgian cases where you had women being persecuted and put into dungeons and whatnot, and he seemed to be the procurer. And in that case, it went up to the highest levels of the Belgian government, included Roman Catholic clergy, people from NATO. It was a very scandalous case that had a million people marched in the streets over this. Now, what is there anything else that might suggest this? Well, it turns out in the Phoenix program, which was, again, a book that I've lectured on and covered recently from Douglas Valentine, within the first 100 pages, he actually goes into some of the specifics, I think on page 61, of what the Phoenix program involved in Vietnam. And it literally involved the training of Navy SEALs and people from other units and attachments. I'm not trying to go after just the Navy SEALs or say that everybody in Vietnam was bad. What they really tried to do was pick out and profile, it appears, the most psychopathic and the most the people most oriented towards being a potential serial killer. And so they would indoctrinate them and teach them, for example, the local occult beliefs in this case. And Valentine says that from the different groups that were recruited, some of the SEAL comrades and CTs were taught the secrets of Psywar. This meant exploring and exploiting superstitions, myths, and the religious beliefs of the indigenous Vietnamese. One technique was based on the Buddhist belief that a person cannot enter heaven if his liver is intact. And so various members of this program, especially those near the Ho Chi Minh Trail, would sneak into the VCI's hooch at night, crush the man's larynx, and then use a dagger to remove his liver. Some of these individuals would also devour the enemy's organs. And it goes on to talk about some of the symbolism that they would do when they would dismember the Viet Cong. They would put it into a kind of a cult symbol. Again, reminiscent of, you know, smearing the blood, putting an all-seeing eye, because the Vietnamese Buddhists had a reverence for the third eye, the all-seeing eye. And so they would utilize this as a cyborg technique, according to Valentine. And this mutilation then had a powerful psychological effect on the population of the Viet Cong. Now, I'm not pro-communist, so I'm not citing this as some, you know, way to say, America was totally evil or we're all the bad guys. I'm not saying that. I'm just pointing out that this is apparently a real technique that was used in training these profiled potential and actual serial killers in the case of Vietnam. And in fact, it even goes on to say that this Eye of God symbolism assumed its mysterious counter-espionage qualities through the myth of the eternal cycle. The Eye of God was the symbol of the Cao De sect, and it included saints like Confucius, Buddha, Joan of Arc, and others. So there was this weird all-seeing eye sect that was popular in Vietnam. And when the agents of the Phoenix program would do these techniques, they were able to utilize the cannibalism, the dismemberment, smearing the blood and whatnot, because it actually had this tremendous effect on the indigenous population. Now, if the theory is true or even plausible or even possibly true that Dave McGowan puts forward in his book, Program to Kill, he covers the possibility that the Phoenix program could have been something bigger than that and could have been utilized when these people came back to run similar types of operations. And remember, we've covered in multiple books on the history of the Vietnam War that the Vietnam War appears to have been kind of intentionally lost, because what it did was help to erode U.S. morale. It helped to make America look like a bad guy. It was a never-ending sort of drug problem, a never-ending cycle of drugs being shipped in and out from that region to the U.S. And so there's different angles and levels to it. It was the first war where they really rolled out AI, drone warfare. And again, that's not to say that the Viet Cong were good guys. I don't think there's a good guy, bad guy here. Rather, that our focus is on the R&D done in Vietnam and how that could have then been used in the future for future Cywar campaigns and programs, especially domestically. So what about serial killers? Why is it, for example, that we seem to see this explosion of serial killers in the 70s and 80s? That was like their heyday. And yes, a couple guys up into the 90s, BTK, right? A couple people in the 90s and 2000s. Israel Keyes is another one of more recent note. And yes, there have been some serial killers in the last couple decades. But they seem to really have their attention, their media focus and explosion and exposure during those time periods. And particularly in many, many cases, we have people in the Vietnam War who end up being serial killers. I mean, there's a striking number. I'm going to list them here in a minute. I've got them all listed of how many of them ended up in Vietnam. Now, do we know if they were all, you know, in the Phoenix program? No, I don't know that. But what we're going to look at, especially with the Israel character there, is that many of these people are explicitly into Satanism, especially that guy. Especially Berkowitz, especially Richard Ramirez, okay? And a lot of people don't know this about Dahmer either. And these are going to be interesting notes to make, because you don't usually hear this in the media, but they don't talk about the real patterns of a serial killer, the real profile. There's this public kind of FBI profile that, you know, again, oh, it's just the, you know, the mainline weird loner. But actually, that's not the case. In fact, a lot of them end up having accomplices. A lot of them are into the occult. In fact, the majority of them are. So we're going to look at the real profile. But here is the list of the most notable serial killers, especially of the 70s and 80s, who had military training and or Vietnam training and experience. The BTK killer, Jeffrey Dahmer, David Berkowitz, Richard Williams, John Muhammad, Gary Ridgway, Ray Norris, Charles Whitman, Leonard Lake, Arthur Shawcross, Charles Ng, Anthony Soule, Dean Corll, Dennis Nilsen, Gary Heidnik, Robert Lee Yates, Richard Allen Davis, Timothy McVeigh, Randy Kraft. And I imagine we could keep going on and on, especially if we begin to factor in not just the lone serial killers, but the serial killers who ran cults, like the Jim Jones types. I don't recall if Jim Jones was in any kind of military association, but he did have CIA connections in regard to what went down in the Jonestown Massacre. And in fact, you can find on Bandai Video, Harrison over at American Journal did a really in-depth dive, deep dive into the deep state connections to Jonestown. So I highly recommend that if you haven't seen that. But remember, there is the Office of Naval Intelligence Program to use killers and their mind behavioral modification for their mind control programs under Dr. Thomas Nerut, who then said, no, that doesn't exist, even though it does. So he admits it at a NATO conference in Naples, Italy, in Oslo. That's the article I mentioned earlier. And, there's a McVeigh, for example, who clearly appears to have been a sheep dip character who was pinned with the OKC incident. But there's also the case, too, that we uncovered recently, if you've listened to my talks on MKUltra, where John Marks had an essay back in the 80s where he had discovered that John Gittinger, the origin of the personality profile, you know, diagram, Gittinger himself had also been involved in a CIA program to recruit sickos, pedos, and psychos.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
The Alex Jones Show. This is Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. You can find my work on YouTube as well as at my website. I'm almost to 100,000. If you want to subscribe over my YouTube channel, help me get to 100,000. If you like what you hear today, I do all kinds of podcasts like this, talks, lectures. There's almost 1,000 talks and lectures, and most of them are not dated, so you can always go back and watch the movie reviews. You can watch the lectures on philosophy and geopolitics, religion, debates, and even this crazy true crime stuff like the serial killer conspiracy. Is there something to this? Is it possible? Well, what are the precedents for this? Well, we saw the Phoenix program in Vietnam. We've seen some of the other programs mentioned. I mentioned Dr. John Gittinger and his recruitment of hobos, dishwashers, and pervs and psychopaths to be part of a CIA program that was part of MKUltra that we don't know a whole lot about, but we do know that there was a program where he was studying them and their proclivities and how to manipulate and control people on the basis of their weaknesses and their obsessions and their sicknesses, right? This kind of stuff. Now, what about other cases where you've heard me mention that there might be precedent for this as well? Well, what about Murder, Inc.? Does anybody remember that the Mafia at one time had a gigantic guild of, at one point, a couple hundred, maybe 300 killers that they could call upon at any time to be a contract killing situation? I mean, it's a famous thing known as Murder, Inc. And by the way, some of these people didn't just work with organized crime, as we've covered in the past. Many cases were U.S. intelligence, foreign intelligence, where they would actually contract killings out to organized crime so that it didn't get back to the U.S. or the intelligence agencies or the government who wanted the assassination done. So in other words, if we were looking for motives or means or the purposes for the usage of like a cult, one of those would be something like to have somebody taken care of, right? So rather than it being a hit that the CIA or something does, well, it ends up, that was just some crazy cult leader. That was just some crazy guy, lone nut out there as part of some satanic cult, when in fact there was another purpose for that. And in fact, more recently, authors, famous, well, you've probably seen Tom O'Neill on Sam Tripoli's podcast or over on Joe Rogan's podcast. You know, he put out a book recently about Manson, chaos in Manson in the 60s and the connections that have eventually emerged about the CIA's connections to Manson. And again, that's relevant because of the high-level connections that are emerging still in regard to Berkowitz via the Process Church, via the Hollywood elite that Manson oddly seemed to be running around, the circles he was running with. And also people like a guy named Tico, T-E-K-O, who was a CIA/OSS assassin who was intimately connected to a lot of the Hollywood crowds. And so this also connects to drug running. This is an angle that a lot of people don't know about or talk about in regard to Manson that has just more recently become clear. And so that's made adamantly clear in even the first four chapters of O'Neill's book. But that was something that a lot of people had theorized for a long time. And again, it vindicates what Maury Terry had been writing about so many decades ago in his book, Ultimate Evil. So let's think about some of the occult serial killers that you may not know about. Now, probably everybody's heard, Richard Ramirez, right, the Night Stalker, he's famously shown with that pentagram on his hand, right? So, in that case, there was one serial killer who was into Satanism and the occult. Well, most of the really prominent ones have this element in their ethos and their symbology and their voices or whatever is going on as a pretty consistent pattern. For example, the Son of Sam we know about,
the family cult, the process church that he was involved in. There was connected to Son of Sam Berkowitz during nearby where they were doing their rituals, the Untermeyer Gardens, in a sort of an underground facility where they had found sacrificed dogs, where there had been witchcraft symbols drawn there. Pretty clearly, that comes up in the Sons of Sam documentary, even admitted to be the case. In the case of Zodiac Killer, again, one of the most famous serial killer cases, we have very clear Gnostic and satanic imagery and symbolism used. We have astrological symbolism and perhaps even Crowleyan symbolism with OTO. It's kind of debated as to what his symbols meant. In regard to Jeffrey Dahmer, not many people know this, but Dahmer had actually sketched out a satanic altar that he was going to build when he had finished however many skulls he wanted to kill, right? So he had actually had this altar sketched out with skulls that lined the altar, and then these sort of this like a blue orb that would hang down, and he called it his altar of power. And I dug up a really old interview. It was an old news piece that had come out right around the time that the Dahmer stuff came out back in the 90s. And it was just a rare, really obscure thing where he had mentioned that he saw himself as some kind of something like an indigenous high priest or a shaman. And so he seemed to have this view that if he could eat his victims, there it is. That's his actual sketch there. Those are the skulls. That's his power altar. And he seemed to feel like that he could draw a esoteric and occult power from this. In the case of Dahmer, this is odd because a lot of people couldn't find any clear occult connections, at least back in the 90s and the 2000s. But then, turns out, more recently, people have dug up old archived local news reports right when this happened. And at least two of the neighbors, in the case of Dahmer, one a boomer dude with a mustache who's out there mowing, they interview him while he's mowing, and he says, yeah, I walked back in the woods where the Dahmer house was, and I found ritual paraphernalia in a ritual setting where they had burned out a circle and they had a dog's head and a crucified dog body. Other cases or other situations, Dahmer would do the same thing where he would decapitate and or crucify a squirrel. Now, again, very odd. Who has even heard about this, right? Dahmer's high school prom date. Right, this sort of portly young woman that he took to prom, she said, when I went over there to hang out with him, he wanted to engage in seances, Ouija board, and this kind of stuff. And she says, I ran out of there because I just got creeped out. So nobody ever talks about this in regard to Dahmer. These are things that don't really pop up very much. And you've heard me mention this before, but a fascinating case with Dahmer as well is that when he was stationed in Germany, for his brief military service, he was only about 20 minutes away from where another infamous and even worse serial killer, Gary Heidnik, was stationed around the same, roughly the same time period. Oddly that they were, stationed right next to each other in Germany. And this seems to produce these serial killers, right? I don't know why, but Dahmer was investigated for the German unsolved female murders as well that had occurred. And then there was a cable. I don't know how legitimate it is, but there's a cable that's out there on the internet that appears to show a high-level general squashing this issue on the part of the German government looking into Dahmer as a possible suspect. So that's another interesting detail that doesn't come up much. Also, Dahmer seemed to have a very fascinating obsession with the movie Exorcist III. Reportedly, he would just sit and rock back and forth in his apartment watching this VHS over and over and over. And if you don't know, that's, of course, about the Gemini Killer, a serial killer who is demonically possessed by a demon. I think he goes by the name Gemini. Now, you might think that's the only cases. No, there's another 20 or so more serial killers who have satanic and occult connections, which we will look at when we...
Ignatius Sousa's new film, 2,000 Mules, is the most important documentary in modern times because it proves how the deep state stole the 2020 election and how they're planning to steal future elections and complete our journey to basically being like Venezuela. Now, it's great that it's online. It's great that millions watch it online. But you need to have a high-quality HD DVD in your library with the expanded extras so it can't be censored in the future and so you can show it to everyone you know. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and get 2,000 Mules today and get it discounted up to 30% off when you get it with other documentary films like Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, the seminal classic that predicted the Great Reset, and, of course, Part 1, Part 2, and now the new Part 3 of COVID Land. Get them separate, get them together, massively discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. But everyone needs to have 2,000 Mules in their library so the globalists can't censor it. InfoWarsStore.com to get 2,000 Mules today.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at AAN.com/concussion. That's AAN.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lowered blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. We're looking at the odd connections and suppressed information in regard to serial killers and the possibility that they could have been, in many cases, linked to government projects, to satanic cults, to contract killings, organized crime, things that are not usually talked about in regard to the lone nun. Now, keep in mind, too, when it comes to assassins, right, the Sirhan Sirhan or a Lee Harvey Oswald, we're often told that they're just lone nuns. And I think that for most people, that narrative is kind of broken down. I think most people pretty much kind of doubt that normie, old school,
official narrative when it comes to, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald or Sirhan Sirhan. And now we tend to think, no, there's probably something else going on. I mean, you just don't have these high profile cases typically being lone nuts. Well, is it really that much of a stretch to think that maybe in the case of some serial killers, at least, it's also not lone nuts? And so right now we're going through the list of serial killers who have an occult, satanic type of connection. And we just mentioned Dahmer. A lot of people don't know this, but in regard to Ted Bundy, and this was a little more speculative, but in the case of Ted Bundy, there were other killers that had been arrested and interviewed. In one case, Mad Dog McKenna, who appeared to have clearly have been an organized crime-connected serial killer. That was at least one of his claims, that he was a contract killer as well as a satanic cult leader for Santos Traficante, the famous organized crime figure. And in the case of many interviews with him, he claimed that Bundy was actually part of the same network of satanic cults and that they would at times be contracted out to do hits. Now, again, we can't always believe serial killers because many of them, well, most of them, unless they're completely, you know, mind controlled or whatever, they're narcissistic liars. So they will oftentimes hype up and, you know, they want to have the highest kill list, kill numbers or whatever. So we can't always believe them. But in some cases, it has turned out where things that they claimed for many years were actually true. For example, Henry Lee Lucas claimed that he was part of a satanic cult that had kind of raised him, the Hand of Death cult, and he actually talked about places where you would find bodies, and this turned out to be true, right? If I recall, they connected to the Matamoros cult, which was another big famous case where, yes, there was a satanic cult that was involved in human sacrifice, and this connected to what Lucas talked about, and there were really were bodies where he said there would be. In the case of John Wayne Gacy, Gacy for many, many years said he had accomplices and that he was not the only guy, you know, luring in people and killing them. And it has turned out that even mainstream news, WGN, has recently, in the last year or two, reported on the fact that there does appear to be clear evidence that Gacy had accomplices. And particularly one of the accomplices that's most relevant in regard to Gacy was that he was part of a network of underage PRON, if you know what I mean, right? He was connected to a guy, John David Norman, who worked with a guy named Paskey, and Paskey was the associate working with Gacy. So John David Norman at that time in the 70s and 80s was the most prolific underage young man porn kind of person, putting this material out. And then he gets busted, but his note cards, he had the famous the collections of note cards of high-profile people where he sold his materials to. What do you know? The note cards all happen to disappear. But what's interesting is that the connections between Paskey and John David Norman and John Wayne Gacy have now been confirmed. That actually was the case. That is true. So what that suggests is networks, higher level connections, which many of the serial killers had actually talked about, including Berkowitz, including Gacy. But a lot of people said, oh, well, you can't, you know, believe them because they're, you know, crazy killers. Well, maybe, but not everything that they say is false. And so it's entirely possible in the case of Bundy, again, oddities in the case of Bundy, escaping from police and prison twice, police custody, prison. I mean, might have a little aid from the inside to be able to do that twice in a row. I mean, unless he's just like super slick, right? He's like the most genius slick guy ever. To me, it seems implausible unless there is perhaps a police help. And in the case of Gacy, he was a when you're like a volunteer cop? I don't know what the term is, but he was part of law enforcement. So one of the ways that he was able to get away with a lot of his crimes for so long was that he had this inside police level connection. Not saying all the police or serial killers are all doing this, but in many cases, in the serial killer cases, there do at times appear to be police corruption and police assistance and or cover-ups on the part of some of the police. And this was actually something that we do see in the Gacy case. In regard to Henry Lee Lucas, we see similar situations where Lucas appeared to have had protection on the part of the cops. One thing that's odd about the Henry Lee Lucas case is that the number of people that he claimed and that the police said he did is almost humanly impossible. So whether that was a protected contract killing situation with Henry Lee Lucas or whether that was something that they were just trying to clear up, cover up a bunch of old cases and just pin it on that crazy old guy, who knows? But again, that satanic cult connection there is clearly there with Henry Lee Lucas and has been confirmed. Now, in the case of Richard Ramirez, probably the most famous of the open Satanist killers, he appears to have been introduced to the satanic stuff via, I think, his cousin or his uncle who was in Vietnam and was in some degree a Satanist. This allowed Richard Ramirez, oddly enough, to meet Anton LaVey back in the 80s, 70s or 80s. A lot of people don't know this, but the more recent BTK killer, who appeared to have been a humble evangelical Lutheran elder, adamant and active in his local Boy Scouts and church, and I think he was part of the Neighborhood Watch, so not full law enforcement, but part of the Neighborhood Watch. He later admitted, no, actually he, and again, we can't always believe what they say, but he claimed to have been possessed by two spirits that he was very aware of. One demon named Batter and one named Factor X. So a lot of people don't know that, but he claimed to have been involved in some degree of demonic possession. Whether he was an occultist, I don't know. But one thing is that a lot of people don't look at either is that the serial killers, for the most part, they all do art. Right? So there's this weird underground thing where serial killers sell their art to fans. I think this is all sick and disgusting, but if you look at BTK's artwork, he actually puts quite a bit of zodiac-type symbolism, esoteric symbolism. It's always, in many cases, very psychedelic. Why that is, I don't know. It could be the law of the serial killers were experimenting with LSD. In many cases, we do know that, for example, Son of Sam had done LSD. Yeah, there you see, I think that's BTK killer art there. Always very trippy, very psychedelic, and at times he will put mandala symbolism in there, and he'll put astrological symbols in there. And again, he claims, again, yes, they can lie. You know, they can try to get out of the guilt. Oh, I'm a MPD DID. I'm not guilty. And maybe they are, maybe they are. I don't know, right? Maybe they are possessed, right? Any of these things are possible. Probably one of the worst, though, that people don't know about is the David Parker Ray, the toy box killer, who would sort of take in women that he found off the streets, and he would I'm not going to say what he did, but it was very nasty. It was one of the worst. But he also claimed to be part of a small satanic sect. I'm not going to tell you to look up his drawings and artwork because it's pretty gross, but you could clearly see that in the drawings and artwork that he did. Herb Baumeister is an odd guy, and there were bones found strewn throughout his yard at this big farm that he had purchased. Yeah, there you go. That's a toy box killer's thing there. And then in regard to Herb Baumeister, there were pentagrams and inverted crosses drawn nearby on the barns where he had done his murders. In regard to, I think this is in Chicago, the Ripper Crew, a famous serial killer group of four guys. They were also a small satanic sect. And they were engaged in cannibalism. Dutroux affair, as we mentioned before, that clearly had satanic connections. That's mentioned in the Irish Times and the Guardian that I mentioned earlier. The Monster of Florence, Italy, a serial killer there who was a satanic cult-connected guy. The cannibal Armin Myvice was into the occult Satanism. Israel Keyes, as we said, was into that. And Order of the Solar Temple. I just did a talk over on Rockfin, on my Rockfin channel. Did a whole talk on the Order of the Solar Temple, another satanic.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Here's the deal. I've had constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating for years. I've tried a lot of laxatives and fiber supplements, but my symptoms keep coming back.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements, and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2 years old. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Welcome back to the Alice Jones Show. This is Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We were going through the list of serial killers with satanic and or occult connections and beliefs. And I'd mentioned Israel Keyes, who was more recent and pretty prominent in terms of open Satanism and his belief in magic and, you know, sort of taking on the power of the victims through, occult practices, and there was other serial killers as well. Adrian Lim, Sean Sellers. There is the case of the Order of the Solar Temple, which I just mentioned, which was a Canadian, French, Swiss, Switzerland-based cult, which was prominent in the 90s because they were kind of like Heaven's Gate, a mass suicide cult. So you notice this weird pattern of Jonestown, Heaven's Gate, Order of the Solar Temple, who had drawn heavily from Crowley, from the Golden Dawn, to create this gradation of a new graded degrees in terms of a new Templar cult. So the Order of the Solar Temple was this attempt at resurrecting medieval Templarism. And they were also an end times cult, which believed that they would have to commit infant sacrifice
to stop the Antichrist from being born. Now, that's all, you know, pretty wild, but as we often see with a lot of these cults, you look at Osho and the documentary about his cult that was famous on Netflix a few years ago. It turns out other things seem to be going on there, such as high-level arms trafficking and money laundering, which usually connects to intelligence and organized crime. And, of course, that's what we see with the Order of the Silver Temple as well, that their cult was also involved in pretty high-level money laundering and arms trafficking. Another case that's very important of recent note is the North Fox Island case and the executives from some prominent automobile corporations. Now, this is not a recent case, but recently come to light in regard to the satanic and Epstein-style connections at the North Fox Island. So this seems to be a children's retreat from the 70s, and that's up in like the Michigan, you know, Finger Lakes area or whatever. And you had these people who were engaged in high-level compromise-style operations where they were filming it, where there was a full-on satanic ritual abuse going on. And this has come out in regard to a recent famous podcast series that you may or may not have heard of if you're interested in this stuff, called The Clown and the Candyman. And that was really where this connection between, I think his name is Dean Corll. He's the Candyman, a Texas-based serial killer who operated in a very similar way to what Gacy did in terms of the BDSM elements, BTK elements, right? But in the case of Dean Corll, he had ties to figures, I can't remember if it was Pasky, but in the same way it connected to Gacy, right? Because they were doing the same types of stuff. So we have a connection between Gacy, the Candyman, and John David Norman. And there's connections in the Clown and Candyman installments, about 7 or 8 installments of this very in-depth podcast that connects it to the North Fox Island case and the satanic elements of the elite executives that were being flown out to those islands and retreats. Also, as we mentioned, another high-profile case, the Myra Hindley and the Yorkshire Ripper, Peter Sutcliffe, all happened to be BFF with Jimmy Savile. So a lot of theories and speculations over the years that Jimmy Savile was also involved in murders, not just a creeper pedo and a necrophiliac, but perhaps also involved because he was openly close friends with these famous serial killers who themselves had a witch cult. Right. So they were known to have a witch cult. And a couple other cases that could be mentioned, as we said, the Satanic Panic picked up in part due to, you know, Geraldo's series where he was covering, you know, satanic murderers, and he did a focus on Bobby Burdella. But it turns out Bobby Burdella actually was in some degree seeing himself as a sex cult leader. Now, I don't recall how satanic it was. He had this oddity shop where he sold Bobby's Bizarre Burdella or some Bordello or something like that. And in the case of his stuff, he had, like, you know, shrunken skulls, and then people debate whether that was real or what. But turns out that he had this sort of BDSM sex cult where he was the head of the cult, and he was locking people up, imprisoning them, and the house ended up stinking up. And there were occult symbols and things connected to Bobby Burdella. So I would say in the case of Bobby Burdella, even though Geraldo might have sensationalized it, seems like it really was there. There was something to that in regard to the Satanism and the occult. So what I want to talk about now, because there's a lot more information, you can go really deep with a lot of this stuff. For example, I just heard recently that I didn't even know that Sirhan was connected to the process cult, right? I knew that he had connections and interests in Rosicrucianism, and that he claims that he was mind controlled and dissociative, in a dissociative state, because he doesn't remember supposedly what happened that day. Again, who knows if that's the case or not? He could be lying. We don't know. But what is interesting is that he also seems to have had times where he would attend the Process Church meetings. So here we have, again, Process Church connecting not just to Berkowitz, not just to, because Berkowitz is involved in a shoot-off of Process, which was the family. And then we that's connected to Savile via the magazine Process, which, by the way, Charles Manson wrote articles for. So Manson was literally writing articles for the Process Church magazine, where Savile was writing articles and being interviewed. at the same time as the process split-offs, and by the way, the process church is a split-off of Scientology, started by a guy named Robert de Grimston, who was himself this sort of Luciferian satanic figure who had, if I recall, been involved in some pedo stuff and had left the Roman Catholic priesthood, studying for that priesthood to start this cult of his own. And it had these really, degrees and gradations. It was a very elaborate structure to the cult that he and I think his wife had started in the UK. They brought it over here. Yeah, there's the process. Obviously, he's trying to look like Jesus. And the weird thing about process is that the philosophy of this cult was this Manson philosophy. It was this idea that we're going to instantiate the apocalypse through the occult process, and that Jesus and Satan are the same. They're like flip sides of the same coin. This is probably where Manson got that weird, I'm God and the devil. I'm Jesus and I'm Lucifer all at once. I'm in your mind, right? That's literally the Manson philosophy, right? And that's the philosophy of this cult. We know that Manson had an interest in this because, again, there's an article he wrote for the magazine. So that also connects, again, to Sirhan Sirhan, which I didn't even know that until fairly recently. So there's always these, these new, interesting, fascinating details that pop up in regard to these serial killers. And a lot of stuff newly emerges, right? Again, Maury Terry's, a lot of his research has been vindicated in regard to a Netflix documentary of all things. I mean, that's not the last place I would have expected there to be any vindication. But somehow, amazingly, right, the Maury Terry suspicions, for example, about who had committed the occult murder of Arliss Perry, that turned out to be correct. At the end of the documentary, they bust the guy who Maury Terry had theorized had done that. And curiously enough, that guy had a copy of Maury Terry's book. Interesting. So the serial killer patterns, let's look at the real patterns that I've noticed, contrary to what supposedly the normie mainstream official narrative, just like the normie mainstream official narrative of lone gunmen, right? It's different when it comes to serial killers. Serial killers sometimes have a messiah complex where they see themselves as gods or savior figures of the human race, and that their actions are actually ritual actions that will heal or change the world. Not in every case. In many cases, they're actually filming it, and they seem to have accomplices, which could suggest something more than just a murder. It could suggest a contract killing or SNUFF types of operations. A lot of times, they have connections to organized crime, which is not often admitted or highlighted. In many cases, they are people who were traumatized and abused, and in some way, obviously, relationships with their parents were difficult, but they might have also had sexual or ritual abuse in their youth. They seem to, in many cases, have high-level international and powerful connections, which is odd, given that they're typically weirdo oddballs. Why do we have John Wayne Gacy hanging out with Rose Carter, Jimmy Carter's wife? Why do we have Jeffrey Dahmer being able to call up Walter Mondale, I think, or calls the vice president's office and gets his whole class taken into the vice president's office? That's an odd thing for a random weirdo kid to do. Many of them have MPD or DID. Many of them are connected to drug trafficking rings. Many of them have, as we said, high-level military or assassin training. Look at Wayne Williams. There's a whole interview where Wayne Williams says, I was trained as part of a youth CIA program, but I'm not supposed to talk about that. Now, again, he could be lying. These people do lie, but maybe he's not lying. Oftentimes, these networks are connected to human trafficking. As we mentioned, the occult and satanic elements. We find out that they don't often have ideal victims. In many cases, the victims are all over the board, which could suggest, again, contract killing or ritual killing. Sometimes the murders do occur on important occult ritual days or solstices. A lot of times they also are part of the long-term prison mind control complex, and many of them are killed in prison, which could suggest covering up the truth getting out.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Cue the maraschino cherry. You want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.